The definition of arrogance is an attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claims or assumptions. Today, we'll be talking about arrogance and its casualties.
Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm Mary Ventress, and I'm joined with my friends Randall and Josh Newby.
Greetings.
Hello.
Well, I'm excited about tonight's podcast because I've been studying. I'm studied up, okay?
That's good. Yes, and we had a break last week, too.
Yes, we did. We took a week off due to weather.
That's a good thing because the Bible says to study to show thyself approved.
There you go.
That's a good thing.
I know, and I have to do that a lot.
So that means there's going to be lots of goodies in this
episode.
There
you go. There you go. Lots of tidbits.
We get a joy. It's good to be back. Praise the Lord.
It is good to be back.
Mr. Audience, praise the Lord. It's good to be back in the house tonight of our studio to reminisce and to praise the Lord tonight.
Yes. Yes. We had a good prayer. We are ready to roll. So I've been studying in the book of Esther. One of the things that we're going to talk about in today's episode is arrogance on parade. You know, there's so many in the Bible that suffered from arrogance. And one of the books that I really found this to be true is in the book of Esther. And the man who was the most arrogant in this was Haman. And he was a court official ranked above the princes. He had a wicked heart, the Bible says. He took credit for, you know, saving the king's life, but it was Mordecai that saved the king. Right. It wasn't him. Self-exaltation. He hated Mordecai because he would not bow to Haman.
Right.
So he convinced the king to sign a decree to kill all the Jews because he said they do not keep the king's laws, but their laws are different. But the real reason he wanted them to die was because of Mordecai.
Right.
Because Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. He offered the king 10,000 talents of silver to help pay for this massacre. He was so haughty, and he was sitting up so high that he just believed, you know, if I have a problem, I'm going to make it go away. And, you know, in horrible ways, because like I said, he had a wicked heart. He had gallows built to specifically hang Mordecai on. He was so filled with hate, every wicked thing he tried to do to Mordecai was done to him instead. You know, he even had to parade around town leading a horse with Mordecai on it, and Mordecai was draped in royal apparel. Because, you know, when the king found out that Mordecai was the one that saved his life, he wanted to honor Mordecai.
Right.
And so he asked Haman, he said, well, what would be you know, something of honor that I could do for him. And he said, put him in your best robes, the best crown, put him in the best, and put him on your best horse and have him led around the town. And the king said, that is a great idea. I want you to do it. I want you to lead Mordecai, you know? And how angry this must have made Haman.
That was a punch in his gut,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
He wanted that glory for himself.
He did.
So for him to have to do that for Haman, wow.
Because it also showed his lie. Because he took that, there was guards at the gate that were talking wickedly about the king, things they wanted to kill the king. Mordecai heard this and sent someone to warn the king.
Right.
Well, Haman intercepted that message and told the king that he overheard it. But one night the king couldn't sleep, and he was having the Chronicles read to him. And it said in the Chronicles that Mordecai was the one.
Right.
So, you know, Haman's house of cards was beginning to fall down.
Be sure, know your sins will find you out.
Yes, yes.
And he was trying to bring discord and bring division and came back on him.
But on the other hand, if you look at Mordecai, the truth will set you free.
Because
he told the truth.
Right.
It came out. It didn't stay hidden.
Yep.
And King, I can't say his name very well, Ahasuerus, how do you say his name? Okay. You know, he was very wealthy, and in the beginning of the book of Esther, he was in a six-month feast, a six-month banquet. And, you know, he called his queen, he wanted to show his queen Vashti show off the beautiful crown that he had for her. Arrogance. This was a form of vanity and arrogance and all these things. And he sent for her because she was having a banquet with the women in her banquet hall. And she refused to come.
Right.
And he sent for her again, and she refused to come again. And because of that, he deposed her. He said, you can't be my queen.
Right.
And so then he sought a new queen, which is how Esther, who was named Hadassah, but that was too Jewish of a name, so they changed it to Esther to hide the fact that right. she was Jewish. So the word says he loved Esther above all the women. Yeah. There was, I believe, 10 women brought before him, and she caught his eye because God gave her favor.
It did. It said that she obtained mm-hmm. grace, and she obtained favor mm-hmm. in his sight.
Yeah. Oh,
that's wonderful.
That is. And because that's what God will do for you. When you're in a bad,
yes.
what I would call a pickle, and you cry out to God, these are the kind of ways that he changes things.
Right.
We talked about this before. We kind of want to solve it for him and tell him how to right. fix it for us. But he does such a better job at it than we do.
Right.
And so anyway, the king allowed the decree to kill the Jews to be written and executed, right? And so, you know, all this was taking place as this decree had been read, and people began to panic. A fear began to set in. And, you know, Mordecai, he knew the only way to get to the king was through Esther.
Amen.
And Esther was not his daughter. He raised her as his daughter. She was really his cousin. It was his uncle's daughter. But they died. They both died. So he raised her. And he advised Esther, you know, when they took her, don't tell them that you're Jewish. And he said, we'll communicate through messenger. You know, we can't talk to one another. He knew he wouldn't see her. So he told Esther about the decree to kill the Jews. He got word to her through a messenger. And once she was queen, he told her to go in to see the king and plead for the lives of her people.
Amen.
But you didn't just go in before the king. So I can't imagine Esther's fear
right.
that came over her when as soon as that came out that's what she'd have to do.
It could have cost her her life.
Oh, absolutely.
She could have been killed.
Yeah, you just didn't go to the king.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the word says she placed herself basically in his garden so that it would draw his attention.
Well, I think this is where humility comes into play,
mm-hmm.
is when we don't draw attention to ourselves and we allow God to start
yes.
working the supernatural to orchestrate and move us like a chess piece into
right.
the position to where God can fulfill the purpose in our lives.
Yes.
Instead of us trying to get the glory for, look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's letting God get the glory and allowing God
Absolutely.
To get the glory as he directs and orders our steps.
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing with Esther here.
He did. You know, because she was beautiful and obedient mm-hmm. as well as brave. She had
yeah.
to overcome her fear to be able to help her people,
yeah.
the Jews.
She's very strong.
Oh, yes. And because she could have at any time, tried to escape.
Right.
Or, you know, because not only was she carrying all this, but she was hiding the truth from him, you know, that she was a Jewish woman.
She was representing the whole nation of Israel.
Yes.
It was on her shoulders.
Yes. So she definitely had to behave as a queen.
She did.
And but what she told Mordecai, she said, okay, gather the Jews together. And have them fast with no food or drink for 3 days.
That's wisdom.
Yeah.
I mean, that shows where God is directing her right there.
Oh, yeah. And she said, I'm going to do it too.
Yeah.
But you guys do this for me.
She was showing leadership
oh, yeah.
to this nation.
Yes. And she knew she had to get God involved, you know, keep him involved in this. She was afraid because, you know, like I said, you couldn't just go into him. You had to wait for him to send for you.
Right, right.
So anyway, she won the favor of the king through the Lord. One way she did this is she threw him a banquet
right.
in his honor. And, you know, I got to thinking about this because, you know, back in the day, You know, people came to the king for him to bless them, mm-hmm. for him to do for them. But she said, I'm going to do this for you.
She wanted to honor him.
Yeah. So that had to be a big ego boost for him, yeah. you know, because his other wife didn't even want to.
I didn't do that.
No, she didn't even want to be in the same room with him, right? So anyway, so she had a banquet for the king and invited Haman, who right. she knew was behind
right.
this. She knew he had a wicked heart. So she, at this dinner, he was so pleased with all that she had done, and all I'm sure she had his favorite foods. You know, she did some research. You know, what are things the king likes? What are things that are going to make him happy? So he said, ask me whatever so you will, and I will give it to you. Yeah. And she pleaded with the king for her life and the lives of her people.
Yes.
And she said, please stop this decree.
Right.
And he said, okay, here's my ring. Whatever you want to decree, you do it.
Right.
Well, that just busted Haman's bubble. And what was he going to say in the midst of this?
Couldn't say nothing.
No, because he would have probably got killed right then.
His plan, his purpose just fell apart.
Yes, because remember, she had favor. Yes. So if he would have said something against her, he would have probably had his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he, you know, Mordecai, he had done all this advising. He advised Esther not to tell anyone. He told her, you know, go to the king, you know, one thing that he said to her was, listen, if we die, you die.
Right.
It's going to come out that you're Jew.
No pressure here.
No. So you better help us.
Yeah.
But he had to do that in order to keep an urgency about her.
He was kind of like a representative of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. He was the coach.
Esther was a picture of the church, but
yeah.
But Mordecai, he was like the Holy Spirit directing her.
Yes,
to do
I looked
right
at
thing.
It like he was the coach and she was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. So he had to get this sense of urgency in her to get this done because this decree was coming up quickly.
Fast.
And so once she was queen, he told her to go in and see it. So anyway, I missed my bullet point here. He also reported that the gatekeeper spoke about wanting to harm the king. You know, this was Mordecai. He was elevated to Haman's position and was draped in royal apparel of blue and white and with a great crown of gold. So not only, and then Haman, because of his deceit and his evilness and his... He was hung on the gallows that he had built to hang Mordecai. He wanted to hang Mordecai in the city square
right.
and everyone to
Make
see
a
what he had done.
Public example
yes.
out of him.
And that's what happened to him.
Yep.
And then not only did he suffer Mordecai's death, but then the king honored him and gave him Haman's position.
Yes.
Made a Jew... It put him in the leader box,
in the
right?
Leadership box, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing about this that I took is always do the right thing.
Yes.
Esther always did the right thing.
Yes.
She did exactly what was
stayed
called
pure,
of her.
She stayed humble.
She did.
Stayed meek.
Yes.
Yet bold. Meek, you know, meek just doesn't mean we're weak.
No. No.
It just gives us a sense of a dependency upon the Lord.
Well, you know, just because somebody stays quiet about something
right.
does not mean you're not intelligent.
Right.
Because silence is golden.
Be swift to hear and slow to speak.
Yes, because that's how we get ourselves in a bind a lot of times, is we speak too quickly.
Yes.
But yeah, so she, you know, his haughtiness and his evilness, you know, was his demise. It caused Haman's ruin. And I know there's others in the Bible that this same thing happened to. The Pharaoh being one in the book of Exodus, you know, the Pharaoh had that same pride and that same arrogance of, you know, who are you to come before me and tell me to do anything?
Right.
And it came back to bite him.
It did. It did. You know. When you look at, we talk about these, you know, whether it be pride or arrogance or haughtiness or vanity, I call them just, they're all in bed together.
Mm-hmm.
They're all
sin.
They're all cousins mm-hmm. of each other, and they work hand in hand. And,
yes.
You know, arrogance can be uppity or it can be snooty or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can be a strutting, like a strutting rooster, if you want to call it
that. Well,
then
it can cause damage that you don't know anything about.
Yeah.
I mean,
it causes inner spiritual damage to a life when pride and haughtiness gets a hold of it.
Right.
That know that pride and haughtiness, it will be repaid.
Yes.
And that was proof in Haman.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said he built the gallows for Mordecai.
He did.
And he got hung on his own gallows.
And he paid for him himself.
He did. I mean, it will be repaid.
Yes.
You dish it out, you're going to get it back.
That's right.
So, I mean, these are some dangerous sins that can, if they're not rooted, they can take root in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be very careful to notice that and deal with that. When we notice that, we need to uproot that spirit, because it's a foul spirit.
It is. Yes.
It's what it is, and it can be detrimental. I mean, pride is even goes so strong that Proverbs 8:13 says that the Lord hates pride.
Yes.
That's a strong word. I mean, that's God. God hates
and
pride.
He's love.
Absolutely.
So that has to be. I mean, that's the polar opposite of what God is.
Well, if you go back to Isaiah the 14th chapter, 13 and 15. We see where it originated.
Right.
That was in Satan. Mm-hmm. I will exalt myself.
Right.
I will become more. I will arise above God.
Yes.
That's where sin. That's where the sin of pride originated from.
Right.
So if we're not careful, that can develop into the pima of human nature.
That's right.
Because we're of the flesh.
That's
we're
right.
Human. So we've got to nip that and stop it when we see that. See, don't allow it to go any further because it can be detrimental.
Yes.
It can destroy a person. I mean— Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
Well, we look in Zephaniah chapters 2, 8 through 15. I won't take time to read it, but there's wages of pride that have to be paid.
Right.
I mean, if we do the crime, we're going to do the time.
That's right.
The old saying goes. But, you know, but it stems from Satan trying to get a foothold in our life to destroy us.
He does.
So he plants those seeds of pride and arrogance.
Yes.
You know, you don't need God. And no, we can be stuck up. We can be haughty, and we can have pride in our life, and it can be so detrimental. But when you look in Romans 3, at chapters 3 and chapter 4 as well, there is no place.
Right.
There is no place. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear: there is no place for Christian pride.
Right.
You know, we're not to give place to the devil.
No.
We're not to give place to him, and pride is an area that we do not want to allow. To take hold, to take hold. It may seem so simple and small. You know, I love the story of over in Luke, the 18th chapter. One of my stories about this, Luke 18 and 9, it's kind of lengthy, but I want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 18 and 9, it says, "And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others." That's dangerous.
Yes.
"Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers and even as this publican.'"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was giving God an earful of showing how good he is and how
bad.
I mean, he was laying on line here like God don't know already.
Yeah.
He said, I go to the point, I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. But then the story changes, and it starts referring to the publican, which he was standing afar off, would not even so lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Right.
What a difference between an arrogant, haughty attitude and a humility.
Right.
This right here is where we need to be as a Christian. Understand, God, be merciful to me.
Yes.
We've not arrived. And it's only through the grace of God that we're saved. It's not what we have done, but it's by God's grace that we have been forgiven. It's because of God's mercy that he showed up in our lives. We're this publican here. We are this publican who doesn't, we have no right to take the first seat, the front row. We got to stand back. And
that's right.
And he said, be merciful. And verse 14 said, I tell you, this man went down to the house justified.
Mm-hmm.
God honors a spirit of humility.
Yes, he does.
He honors a humble heart rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He said, if we exalt ourselves, we're going to fall.
Right.
Pride goeth before a fall.
That's true.
And he says, he said, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
That's right.
I would much rather God to exalt me. He can take us far higher, far greater. And
oh, yeah.
We can run faster and be smarter. He can fix things way better than we can. Well, absolutely. That's where Esther comes in and Mordecai. They were humbled.
Right.
But you take old Haman. Mm-hmm. He was arrogant. Mm-hmm. He was prideful.
Yes.
And he showed himself. And boy, he showed himself.
He did.
And it destroyed him.
Right.
But when you humble like that, God will exalt you. He exalted Esther all the way to the queen. He honored Haman and blessed him. Mordecai, he blessed him into a new position.
But you know, they weren't just worried about themselves.
They
were worried about their people.
They preferred other people
ahead
of them.
Yes, that's right. And Proverbs 21:4 says, "And a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Yeah. You know, we let pride cause so much damage to our families, our friends. You know, sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, I was wrong. And that's so hard. That's so hard to go, I'm not right about everything, I guess, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it causes us damage, yes.
You know, you can look in the Bible and you can see victims.
Yes.
You know, we've talked a lot about arrogance and pride, but vanity
mm-hmm.
is right in there, in bed with them.
Yep.
And it goes hand in hand with them here. And, you know, I found some what I would call victims of vanity because they were who they are. Hezekiah. God blessed him with great riches and great wealth and great position, and he forgot God.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at King David.
Yes.
David was king over Israel, and he had the largest army there was, and mm-hmm. he told Joyce to go out and number the army. And God didn't like that because he was putting his trust in how big what he had done and accomplished that. And because David got a little bit haughty, got a little vain going on there,
mm-hmm.
God come in and reprimanded David, and because of that, 70,000 people were killed.
Yes.
You know, David said, what do they do? He said, they're just sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But because David did that, it hurt other people. And sometimes I don't think we understand
exactly
that.
True.
Where Esther had humility, mm-hmm. she helped an entire nation.
She did.
But if we allow pride to direct us,
it can wipe out
a nation.
Yes, yes. Ooh. That's so true.
You talk about the wages of pride.
Yes.
That's a high price.
Yes. It is.
Because our decisions affects other people around us.
Absolutely.
I mean, that 70,000 people were slain and the angel was still going after it, and God said, stop, that's enough.
Yes.
I mean, the angel was going to just keep going.
Right.
And it's a good thing that God was merciful and mm-hmm. said, okay, stay your hand.
Right.
Wow.
You know, that's, I think, another reason why, you know, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
That's what he said.
And, you know, when we think we know more, or we get out of his will, that's when we get in trouble.
Well, sometimes it's success.
Mm-hmm.
Success can cause pride,
mm-hmm.
and that will cause a downward spiral, and mm-hmm. it'll cause a downfall.
But you know, sometimes failure can too.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
It can do that. You know, so I looked at some people here, you know, just quickly and briefly, run through these real quickly here. Pharaoh,
mm-hmm.
I found out he was very defiant.
Yes, he was.
King Saul was very self-righteous, and he was trying to overpower, control, and disobey Samuel's orders.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, he even tried to kill David.
He had his own agenda.
Own agenda going mm-hmm. on. Look at Jonah.
Yes.
Jonah, he felt entitled.
Yes.
And we can talk more about Jonah next time.
Yes.
You know, if you go way back to Genesis, look at Eve.
Yes.
She wanted a power.
And knowledge. Yeah, she wanted to know everything.
She wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to exercise her power.
Right.
You can look at Michael, David's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She said, who are you today? So she had a judgmental.
Yes.
And man, that's a whole nother part of itself.
Yes.
But when you're in this kind of attitude,
mm-hmm.
it just starts snowballing and compiling.
It does.
And you start getting this defiant attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting a judgmental attitude about you. You know, and Peter, because of his pride, he was overconfident.
Right.
And we can be overconfident at times. And King Nebuchadnezzar, boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a mess.
Boy, God got a hold of that man.
He did.
Woo, Lord have mercy. I mean, he became as a beast and claws and feathers and ate for 7 years.
Oh, my goodness.
For 7 years. It took him that long to get pride out of his life. But when he came to himself, he said, there is only one God. Mm-hmm. There is only one Lord. What a powerful story that is in Daniel, the fourth chapter. So you look at these victims of vanity and characteristics of a prideful people. Mm-hmm. But what we're discussing here tonight is God does not want us to remain in a prideful state.
No, he does not.
But he wants us to have a characteristic of what humility is.
Yes.
So I found some scriptures. And so what would be a characteristic of a humble person? Well, if you look in Romans, the fourth chapter, to simply trust in God.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Trust in God, not trusting in self, your self-ability, your self-knowledge, mm-hmm. but learn to trust in God. Number two is have a thankful heart.
Yes.
Be thankful for what God has done and everything give
gracious.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, and number three, you can say, we can look at stand in awe of God's grace and God's goodness toward us.
Amen.
You
that's
know,
right.
It's not our goodness that's got it. It's because God's been good
absolutely.
To us. It's because God's been gracious to us. Like he was with Esther. She found favor. She found
did.
Grace.
She did.
Yeah, we can also look at, and this, I love this right here, Romans 12 and 15. Rejoice with others.
Mm-hmm.
When you see somebody prospering be happy
yes.
for them.
Yes.
Don't be judgmental.
Don't be jealous.
Yeah. There was another. See the hat going.
Yes.
The enemy wants to just cause jealousy and pride just
yes.
to destroy people. But when we come with the Spirit, we can be happy with people.
That's right.
When we see them prosper and
yes.
successful, rejoice.
Encourage them and encourage
glory to God.
Them
rejoice
the
with them.
Yes.
Rejoice with them. Number five, practice unity and set aside personal preferences.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
think that's tough sometimes because
it is hard.
We get our mindset and we want
it's be, gonna it to be this way.
It has to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
But humility says, no. I'm going to strive for unity here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to step back
yes.
and take my personal preferences and lay them aside
yes.
to help you or to, you know,
yeah.
that's humility.
Well, you know, sometimes we have to get out of our own way.
Absolutely.
Because we, again, you know, just like David, you know, he wanted to number the armies.
Yep.
He wanted to do this. It's not about what we want.
Right.
It's all about God. It's all about giving him the praise, the honor, and the glory. And when we step out and decide, well, you know what, I'm such a good preacher or teacher or, you know, whatever, I don't really need a lot of counsel. I'm just going to do it my way. You'll fail every time.
We're going to fall.
That's right.
The king fell.
Yes.
King Nebuchadnezzar fell. David fell.
Mm-hmm.
King Hezekiah fell.
Yes.
I mean, if they fall.
That's right.
We're going to fall.
Oh, yeah. Moses sinned. You know, every single one of them. Had something wrong.
We've got to stay alert and watchful and vigilant over our lives.
Yes, and you know, but that's the key. You know, when they messed up, they knew where to go.
Absolutely.
You got to know where to go.
David repented.
Yes.
Moses repented. Hezekiah repented.
Yes.
And even Nebuchadnezzar, they came back around.
Jonah,
they understood.
All of them, yes.
Every one of them came back around.
Mm-hmm.
And so real quickly here, it says, and number six is, be not wise in our own eyes.
Right.
Proverbs 3:7. That's dangerous right there.
Yep.
Moving on. Forgive quickly and desire to be a peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's humility.
Yes.
That's the spirit of a humble heart there. I think this is so important right here. Number eight is have a teachable spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Be teachable. Listen.
Because you can learn something every time.
Absolutely.
Listen.
Be swift to hear.
Yes.
Slow to speak.
Slow to speak. Yep.
We need to have a teachable Spirit, Lord, teach me thy ways.
Yes.
That's 2 Peter 3:18. And Ephesians 4:20, I love this one here. Build each other up.
Yes.
We're to build each other up, encourage one another when we see a prospering. Number 10,
mm-hmm.
here's a good one. Galatians 5:13-14, have a servant's heart.
Yes. Yes.
You know, when we understand that, Lord, I pray this, give me a foot washing spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a spirit of feet washing.
That's right.
When we learn to serve and we love and we're serving others, that is a mark in our lives of humility.
Right.
God give us a humble heart today.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was looking at Proverbs 28:25-26, kind of wraps it up. I mean, he says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat.
Amen.
And then he says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
Amen.
That's the goal right there.
Wow. That's the
yep.
that's the goal line. You know, and here's the point. James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of God.
Yes.
God can humble us, but I would rather humble myself.
Right. Right.
I mean, God humbled David.
Well, you know,
70,000 people.
Well,
he humbled
Nebuchadnezzar. Well, you know when you did something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, in your heart, you know.
You're going to feel convicted.
I've done this wrong, and I need to make it right.
Yep.
And when you do that, the Lord honors that.
He does.
And he's proud of you. It's just like when one of our kids, especially Josh, makes a mistake, you know, and you correct him.
Hey, now.
How proud are you when when you don't even have to correct him anymore?
We acknowledge.
Yes.
We acknowledge. We confess.
Yes.
That brings that brings the glory to God.
Yes,
but
it does.
Pride
I feel
doesn't.
The love. It's okay.
You
should. Pride doesn't. That, you know, a defiant, rebellious spirit.
Yes.
Oh, it's horrible.
It is.
It's a horrible, and it causes such a detrimental.
Well, and it causes like a wall. It causes you to build up a wall that separates you from God.
Well, what is 1 Peter 5:5 said? God resists the proud.
Right. Exactly.
But he gives grace to the humble.
He does.
I mean, so if pride is there, God resists that.
Yes, yes. You got to get rid of it.
It builds that wall. It puts a wedge between
our. He hates it.
In our relationship, you know, we need that humble worship.
Right.
Having a servant's heart and loving and serving others, and let that become a mark in our lives. And, oh, Lord, humble me. Help me to humble myself,
exactly.
Lord, tonight. That's my prayer. Praise God.
Yes.
Wow. Very, very, very needful, meaningful topic tonight,
yes,
Mary. Great job. Great job.
It's, you know, God is our everything.
Yes.
And you know, he teaches us through the whole Bible, you know, what he loves, what he likes, what he doesn't love, what he doesn't like. And, you know, in order for us to become good stewards, good children, good servants, you have to know what he says about it. And if anybody tells you the Bible is boring, I mean, come on. Lead them to the book of Esther. And you know, that there's all kinds of intrigue and mystery and things that happen there that are I didn't even cover. So
it's a great book. Come at a great time in the history of God's people, Israel.
Yes.
Thank God for I'm glad it. She wasn't silent in the church.
Right, right, exactly.
I'm glad she was a voice.
Yes.
That changed the history, the outcome of an entire nation. And one woman stood up. What a message.
Wow.
Praise
God. That is
awesome. Praise God. Well, let's have a prayer for our audience tonight. And
Yes.
Father, we just love you tonight, Lord. And we're so thankful that you love us. Father, tonight, Lord, help us to be the watchman on the wall. God, open our hearts, our spiritual eyes. Lord, help us to detect, Lord, any foul spirit of seed that the enemy has sown in our lives of temptation, of pride and arrogancy or haughtiness or vanity, Lord. God, that you would reveal that to us. Lord, that we would see that clarity, Lord, and deal with it. Lord, as we uproot that bitterness out of our lives. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to touch our listening audience tonight. Lord, as they humble themselves, as we humble ourselves before you, Lord. Lord, that you will be gracious and kind and forgive us of that, Lord, and lead us as you led Mordecai, as you led Esther, Lord, in their decision. Lord, as you, Lord, as David repented, as Nebuchadnezzar repented tonight, God. Lord, as we repent of our sins tonight, Lord, that we would cleanse us from all unrighteousness tonight, Lord, and these evil weeds that's trying to spring up in our lives tonight, God. Lord, that you would cut those out, Lord, and strengthen us, renew our hearts, renew our minds and our dependency upon you as we trust you, Lord, as we look for your help. Lord, help us to have a thankful heart and, Lord, and rejoice with those and practice unity in our lives. And God, give us all a teachable spirit tonight, God, and help us to encourage one another in our walk with you, Lord. And God, help us to have that servant's heart. Father, we need you so much tonight, Lord, and we're dependent upon you. Father, we just pray the blessing and the favor of God tonight, Lord, that you will take this podcast and just bless people and strengthen us and show us. Father, we love you and we thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives tonight and the Word of God, Lord, that's penetrating and probing our hearts. Father, we love you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Well, I just want to say thanks for listening to the Messiah's Misfit podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening today so you don't miss an episode. It would also mean a lot if you took the time to give us a review so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve and to teach.
The Messiah's Misfits podcast is a ministry of Yale Assembly where our mission is to build kingdom people. To find out more about Yale Assembly and our other ministries, you can go to yaleassembly.org.